in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Spirit. Ask your prayer for attention to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, and to verses 6, 7 and 8. Romans 5, verses 6, 7 and 8. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And verse 8 is particularly upon my mind as well. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So verses 6 and 8 in Romans 5. We have here the wonderful truth of God, though so pure, though so holy, though so sin-hating, yet, being love, he sets his love upon sinners. And what a favour, what a privilege, my friends, for people like ourselves to truly value and praise him for that love, so good, so gracious. In these two chapters, we are shown clearly that all have sinned, all are lost, all are ruined, among the ruined sons of men. But God gets to himself glory and such glory forever in saving sinners like ourselves. And think upon it, my friend. How can we lay hold upon these things? It's a divine gift. He passes by us sinners and says, live, and they live. Read Ezekiel. Oh, he tells the ancient people there, the Jews, that yes, they're yet in their blood, but he passed by them and said, live. They began to live. It's called the new birth by Jesus. Being born again. Yes, margin, being born above. Oh, and why have we heard the gospel? Why are you exercised, or why am I exercised? It's nothing but tender love and mercy to us. We claim no glory to ourselves. It is the eternal thought of our Heavenly Father, in knowing all things to the end of time, all the detail. He set his love upon certain sinners, and he sent his dear Son in covenant love for him to come and to die for those sinners. And my friends, that salvation, sure, because sin must be punished, a man must die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And God, being so gracious, sent his dear Son in our nature, without sin. Oh, Emmanuel is a wonderful person. He's to Almighty God, his deity itself. One with his Holy Father and one with the Holy Ghost. We use that term, triune Jehovah. One deity, one God, but three co-eternal persons in the Trinity of persons. And he commanded his Son in everlasting love, of course. We can't understand the counsels of the three in one and one in three, but it's in the Scripture. He so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's the gospel, whosoever believeth in him, looketh to him, cometh to him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that tells us, doesn't it, that the death of a believer is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's their best day on earth, their best day. Now, naturally, our death is frightening to us. Oh, we want a real preparation for it, don't we? Feel so helpless and guilty and weak sometimes before a holy God. Ah, but those who really believe, who really trust, who keep coming, who believe in their heart and worship and give him the glory, they must and will be saved, and their day of death will be clearly their best day. Though I know it's hard to receive naturally. Well, we have this tremendous truth set before us, don't we, by the apostle, when we're without strength. That shows us to have no strength at all with God, no strength to save ourselves, no strength to alter the situation we find ourselves in. Yet he sent his Son in love. And here's our strength, the strength of a believer. So we read, for when we're without strength, in due time, now due time, the appointed time, the proper time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. That's me. That's you, my friend. And we're all in the same boat. The pride of man measures sin. Oh, what a treble sin there is. And he may be. Oh, I'm not such a sinner as they are. Well, you may not do the outward things, but we're all under condemnation. We've all sinned, all come short, all suffer from pride and unbelief and worldly-mindedness. We all suffer from frivolity and wanting to have a good laugh sometimes. All those things, my friends. You say you're rather laying down a hard line. The thought of foolishness is sin. And my friends, we're full of jealousies, envies, covetousness, aren't we? Yes. But that can't frustrate the grace of God. And therefore we are taught by the Spirit that we have no strength ourselves. We're dependent upon the promised goodness. Yes, we would say the goodness, but the promised goodness. Because, believer, goodness is promised in the precious Jesus. A living Lord Jesus in heaven. And he tells us in his word to the prophet Isaiah, seek and ye shall find. Whoso read, let him understand. Yes, he that seeketh shall find, he that knocketh it shall be opened. Ah, my dear friends, they shall receive in their coming to Christ all that they need for their full and free and everlasting salvation. It's not a temporary salvation. It's an everlasting and glorious salvation. The just man shall live by his faith. Well, what a wonderful thing it is here. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And notice verse 7. He sets forth here something, he's making a comparison really, for scarcely would a righteous man will one die. It's an unthought of thing really, isn't it? That we should die for people that don't deserve any favours. Yeah, peradventure for a good man, somebody even dare to die. But God, how wonderful. God commendeth. He commended it in his word. He commended it in the gospel ministry. He commended it to us and our consciences from time to time. Yes, when you feel a prompting and a probing and a spring up in your heart, a longing to pray, a longing to trust, a longing to live to the glory of God, to walk worthy of him. For he commendeth his love toward us, in that he died while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Well, let us look at these things, my friends. Let's find out our own state by nature, and then the tremendous truth of the life and death, the offering of Jesus, the ascent of Jesus into glory, and the promise to all seekers, all comers. Our true state. Well, let conscience speak. If we're taught by the Lord, we shall have a divine monitor given to us. a peculiar understanding, we shall feel our need of the blessing of Jesus. We want to be reconciled to God, want to know him and win him and be found in him at last. It's called the new birth. Now, as in natural birth, of course, all vary from person to person. So in spiritual birth, the new birth, the heavenly birth, the experience of this will vary according to the Lord's teaching and the Lord's way dealing with us. Some much more gently led. Some are suddenly converted. But my friends, if it's the Lord's work, it brings you to one place. And to look to one person, and to trust in one person, the man Christ Jesus, God with us, God with us, Emmanuel, all blessed person. He fully understands our case. So, my friends, we're made conscious throughout our pilgrimage of what poor, needy sinners we are. And the Apostle Paul in the seventh chapter, I believe, yes, in the seventh chapter, he traces out some of the conflict. When we would do good, evil is present with us. The good we would not do, we find, my friends, we have no power. Yes, the good I would, I do not. The evil I would not, that I do. And how to perform, I know not. We feel such a helplessness with regard to ourselves, but faith looks to Christ for help, to save us day by day from the activity of our sinnership inside us, this fallen human nature, always thinking the wrong thought, left to ourselves. But the Spirit overtakes us, my friends. Yea, he plants a godly fear to think upon his name. And those promises, ye are now men in Christ, are towards those who think upon his name. Those who pray to him. Those who trust in him, who wait upon him. So I believe over our pilgrimage we're made to feel how utterly helpless and hopeless our case is out of a precious Jesus. With the divine teachings ways to this end, you see, we're made to see a certain beauty and glory in Christ, in Christ. So my dear friend, the Lord is so good, isn't he, to make us ashamed of ourselves, but to bring us to glory and to love. It's only beginning of love here, to begin to love him and to live to him and to trust in him and to wait upon him. Oh, what has the Lord done for his people then? Let us come to that thought. I tell you, friend, he's done everything. He's planned our lives. He's ordered our day of birth here. We give God the glory. Brought safely into the world is a great favour. Made in God's image. And in due time he breathes upon us and he brings us to repentance and faith. And he's allotted, planned in his eternal thought, our dying day. He knows what means he will use in bringing us down, yes, to death and to him, him. I firmly believe that when a man dies, his spirit returns to God. And if he's a believer, his spirit or his soul goes into the glorious host to sing the new song. The body that can't go to heaven. The functions, the whole system of the body is corrupt, you see, and it goes into the grave. To be raised again when Jesus comes the second time without sin unto salvation. Bringing my friends, yes, those blood-washed spirits and souls of just men made perfect with him to join come into the body again, a body like a glorious body, a holy, pure body, a spiritual body, different to our bodies here, are natural bodies. Therefore, in our natural body, we have the motions of sin. The spiritual body has no motions of sin. We don't know the functioning of these things. It's wisely hidden from us. We're not to speculate, but we would rejoice in this to be like Jesus. Because Jesus in heaven, my friends, is that blessed one. Yes, the King in his glory, the King in his beauty. Had no sin, he can't have sin, he's God. But he knows your case in being tempted to sin. He knows the conflicts without sin. I do think that's very wonderful. Because sometimes, left to ourselves, we give way to sinful passions. He had no sinful passions coming inside him. But the devil tempted him to try and destroy him. He knew this was the son and heir of all things, the glorious Emmanuel. So he did his utmost to destroy him. But what a mercy, he's the Son of God. He could not be destroyed. And therefore, he's God and man in one, isn't he? Two distinct natures, Son of God, Son of Man, a real man. And therefore, my friends, he reigns there looking after his people. And he knows our true state. Therefore, he lived for us. Many days of blessing, we're going back, of course, many years now, but it seems so wonderful. As we try to be righteous and sinning all the time and couldn't escape this rotten nature and didn't know what to do about it and crying for mercy, but when it was revealed to me that the Lord is our righteousness, this is the work of God. You believe on him whom he hath sent. And my dear friend, that wonderful sent person has lived for us. Weaving a pure, holy righteousness. And he died for us. My friends, he made a glorious death, yet it was a cursed death, you see, my friends. For it's written, cursed everyone that hangeth on a tree. And all our sins were laid upon. He groaned in himself. He poured out his soul unto death. He felt forsaken in his sacred humanity of the smile of his Father. There could be no division in the Godhead, obviously. But as he suffered, that holy sufferer there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Love. Loves the sinners. Yet he endured this. He was able to do so because he's the Son of God. He could endure this affliction, this pain, this punishment, this distress. And he wasn't being punished for his own sins, God forbid the thought. Our sins, our love of sin, our childhood sins, our youthful sins, our manhood sins, our womanhood sins, adult sins as well. The same old sinnership we live on, but we fight the good fight of faith in the confessing and trusting in looking to the Lord of heaven above. It would be wonderful, you see, he'll come that second time to gather his people. Therefore, you see, he was made a curse for us, but he rose. The ancient creeds do tend to say he suffered in hell, but I hope I'm not wrong in this. I worry about that terminology. I don't feel he went to hell. But I believe this. He suffered hellish sufferings while in Gethsemane and at Calvary. Because, you see, he cried out, didn't he, at Calvary, it is finished. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit, and gave up the ghost. And he said to the dying people, today, this very day, I know you're a wicked thief, you've done evil, you've been violent, you've robbed, now you're deserving death. But because he believed, you see, and turned to him, he said, today thou shalt be in paradise. And so, my friends, they came to break the legs off them, but Jesus already passed away. And that one thief, the other didn't, sadly, solemnly, yes, he went to glory to be with Christ that very, very day. To me, it's a wonderful truth. Doesn't he show his mighty grace, his mercy to the dying thief? What did he say? We suffer justly. And we would say the same, Lord, I know I deserve thy wrath. I know I deserve thy solemn judgments. I've done my best, but my best won't do. Still the same old sinner by nature. But there is die for the ungodly. And so we pray in a simple way. Remember me, Lord. He's come to his kingdom, hasn't he, really? Because, my friends, I know there's yet the second coming, but you see, when they were coming to thy kingdom, when he returned to the Father, and his pure body was laid in the new sepulchre. And then the third day he joined that body once more and rose for our justification. He's a resurrected Saviour and an ascended Saviour. How vital the resurrection. So therefore he justified the ungodly. He lived and died, and none can condemn a godly person. We may criticise them because they're faults. They do have faults. I have faults too. We may be unkind sometimes. It's sin to be unkind. It's best not to repeat other people's faults, is it really? But that's a human nature thing, isn't it? Very solemn, really. But Jesus, my friends, he rose because the church in God's sight was faultless. And they will appear faultless before him in glory. And he's ascended now to govern them, to manage them, to order their ways, here below, safely. So when you go to Christ as a poor believer, comes in more experimentally now, exiled believer, we feel our great need of this living Jesus to show us more and more his sweet truth of his pardon and his love. We're taught things over the years, aren't we? We're taught the truth of the faithfulness of God. Faith is tried. Remember that, my friend. We have a faith that gets tried at times. All afraid of certain things. I get many fears about many things, but who can I go to? To Christ, to look to Christ. Yes, my friends, as we sang, didn't we, just now, 5:54, to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. There I hope to stay. He'll make a goodness pathway for us in the way. I think it's something like that, one of the verses of 5:54. Yes, to keep our eyes fixed on him. And his promise has been sealed by his blood. Every grace, every favour comes to us through Jesus' shed blood, the shedding of that blood. Oh, what a wonderful God the living God is. He has mercy and grace for the ungodly. So let us look to Jesus then in every trying scene here below. Well, he says, for God committeth love toward us in that we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. But he now lives under the power of an endless life. Lives after the power of an endless life. So, my friends, he holds all your life in his hands. Believer. I speak to believers and seeking souls. You may not have the confirming in your soul you wish to, but are you seeking? You shall find. Are you praying for mercy in his precious name? Looking to Jesus, you'll receive that mercy. Asking for help, come down to safe journeys and domestic things at home and family affairs and so many different things, business affairs. Church matters. Oh, may we all wait upon God and ask him to lead us and guide us and direct us in the right way. Look unto me alone, and be saved at the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Therefore, my friends, his love is commended. Wonderful truth, isn't it? We're without strength. Utterly helpless. He committed his love. It's opened, it's shown, isn't it? It's commended in the gospel by invitations. Oh, come and see. The Lord is gracious, read in the psalm, don't we? My friends, may we truly be helped in every matter of our life to keep coming to Christ, that precious living Saviour. You say, yes, well, oh, my sinnership. Well, this is a plain truth. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He can't lie in the matter. He's just. It's a holy, lovely thing for God to do through the merit of His blood, the blood of Jesus, and the righteousness He wrought for us. He will bless. Balaam wanted to curse Israel, but Balaam had to be taught, and he said, yes, God hath commanded to bless, and they will be blessed. He couldn't curse Israel. Men may curse you, but friends, remember this, that God won't curse you in confessing your sins and fleeing to Christ and looking to Christ and coming to Christ. Oh, we read in the psalm, ye people, put out your heart before Him. Tell Him all your secrets. Tell Him all your worries and concerns. Personal matters you wouldn't tell anybody else. And tell the Saviour, the lovely, loving and living Saviour in heaven. And therefore, as He commended His love toward us, the Lord has to be His followers, to follow Him. Oh, to walk in the paths of peace and righteousness, to do those things that He has said in His word. Didn't Jesus reprove the disciples, saying, why call you Me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Ah, my friends, may we confess all our shortcomings, but follow. Take up our cross daily and follow Him. He is the glorious captain of our salvation, our leader. He's the way, the truth, the life. You see, dear friends, what was He here? God with us, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He humbled Himself in this. You say, well, did He really have to be that one of them? Yes, He did. To be a merciful and compassionate and a faithful high priest. Religious systems make priests of men. And of course, in the Levitical times of Israel, there was the priesthood set up by God Himself by commandment. Moses set up the priesthood by the commandment of God. But now God's great high priest is living in heaven. He came, He suffered, He walked where we walk now. He knows the trials of all human beings. He knows the trials of God's, His own dear people especially. And now He's gone to glory. He fully understands the plight of His believing church and all that they have. And how good to trust Him and to keep coming to Him and to follow Him, to follow in His footsteps. Jesus prayed His way along, didn't He? To think that the Lord Jesus should pray. I know I'm being a bit simple, but isn't it a wonderful thought that Jesus prayed to God? And in Gethsemane, He was in such agony and such weakness, an angel appeared to strengthen Him. That created angel flew down, as it were, to strengthen His Creator in His intense sufferings for our sins. Is not this love? Oh, to walk in His love, in the sweet truth of Him, and to keep His commandments, to follow Him all the days of our life, to make us ready for His kingdom. And there's such a glory being prepared. We read, I hath not seen nor ear heard, has entered the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. In Isaiah, I think we read that that trust Him, and in Hebrews, that love Him. What a mercy to begin to love God here and love His ways. Well, we love him because he first loved us. Wonderful grace, isn't it? So, he commended his love to us, that while we were yet in our sins, he died for us and stooped so low for us. And you see, he chose a comparison in that middle verse there, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. It'd be a very rare thing to die for a righteous man. Yet for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love to us. Oh, yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, friends, may we plead his death in our journey, that unknown future we're journeying on so quickly. To plead his death, his victory in death. Hell was vanquished. Death was abolished. Satan was bruised with an incurable bruise. He can't oppose God or destroy God's people because the church is the apple of his eye, his bride. Therefore, we trust and keep coming to him and pleading with him and tell him all your secrets. Trust in him, you tempted saints. Tell him all your sad complaints, your worries, your concerns about your future. Things too hard for you. Casting all your care, all of it, upon him. He careth for you, believer. Ah, my friends, how gentle and wonderful are the Lord's dealings with us. Sometimes he chastens us. We recognize the hand, chastening hand. We confess and plead his love and mercy in it. Chastening is a sign of sonship, you know. Perhaps enemies of God will say, oh no, if they're in trouble, that's because they're such sinners or the hypocrites and that. No, friends, you may find yourself in some troubles that really worry you. And it seems like a chastening, doesn't it? It's fatherly love. It's fatherly love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He receives poor sinners. Ah, he knows your case. Your hard case, your impossible case, but he delights in mercy. You may plead things that God delights in, but the throne of grace, he delights in mercy. Yes, my friends, he never sent anyone away that came to him. Not one person that was in need, that came to Christ while he was living here, went away sad and destitute. We know one man came, went away from him sad, but friends, he didn't really want to do what the Lord said. Sell all that he had and give to the poor. He had plenty of riches, so he didn't like that idea. So he went away sad, but poor beggars, poor lepers, poor guilty sinners caught out in their sin, blind people, yes, lame people, those of various illnesses, they didn't go away sad. They were healed and they rejoiced in this great salvation. Well, I must think of closing. We must all die. We must all die. Remember that, my dear friends. I must die and I need Christ. We need him to bring us down to our deathbed safely and to bring us safely with that aeronautical of death. Well, we do need him to bring us through and to bring us through death. But death, you know, is a twinkling of an eye, isn't it? When the spirit leaves the body, then it's glory in a believer. An unbeliever, solemn thought, outer darkness, hell, everlasting distress. Now, I know God wouldn't do things like that. It's unjust. It's not unjust. We're made to feel in our life what our sin is, it really is. But we're made to know sweetly what love has done. You are complete in him, free. One of the readings this morning at home was, the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Or was it last night, perhaps? Yes, if the Lord makes you free, you're free, my friend. Pray for it. Anything in my name. although the Father giveth me, shall come to me. Sweet doctrine there, isn't there? If you're a coming sinner to Christ, it's the Father's drawing love. And him that cometh to me, no wise cast out. Oh, my friend, you won't be cast out in all your weakness and your fears. Men may despise you for your fears, but Jesus doesn't. He knows that we are full of infirmities and weaknesses and fears. But he says, look unto me and be saved to the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. And again, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12. Who is the author and finisher of our faith. So, we have a good God to go to. I must preach it. I must preach it to my dying day as the Lord helps me. I can only preach as he helps me. That he's a blessed, faithful friend of publicans and sinners. Oh, may we trust him. Keep coming to him. May we be encouraged from his word. You see, he commanded his love toward us. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Tremendous truth. Well, my friends, the Lord is a good and a gracious and a loving Saviour. There's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, we read in Moses, who wrath upon the heaven in thy help, is excellently upon the sky. Well, may the Lord bless his precious word to us and do us good. We need him so much in our lives, don't we? So ask the Lord's blessing upon the word. Bless thy own word of truth and grace, Lord. Pardon any mistakes made, things said wrongly. Wash in thy precious blood. Bless the sweet truth of thyself to us poor sinners here today. And take under thy shadow now. We plead all prevailing name for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.